welcome to No Substitutions, Please, a show about food and the things people do to it. I'm Noah Beef Peppers Broth Magic McKinnon.
And I'm Louisa Full of Beans Heron.
And if we hadn't clued you in already with those nicknames, Louisa, what food are we talking about today?
Today, well, it's controversial that I said full of beans, because today's topic is red chili.
The communist one.
That's right.
Yes.
What would need to be in there? Bread? Roses? Well, that's socialist, rather, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Probably beets, somehow.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That would get it really good and red, huh?
It would. It would also be bad. But we'll get to that later. As you pointed out, red chili. So what are the necessary ingredients of a red chili? What are the things that, like, everyone agrees on at this point?
As far as I know, the only thing everyone agrees on is beef and a mix of peppers. And that is it. There are no other things that everyone agrees on for a red chili.
Hold up. So, like, if I make, like, picadillo, that counts as chili now, apparently? Because I noticed that you did not mention a liquid anywhere in there.
Yeah. A lot of people said, I don't know how true this is, but they said, going back to cowboy times, that you carry with you a paste of dried beef and ground chilies. So it would stay good for a really long time. And then wherever you stopped, you could sort of boil it up with water to get, you know, something edible that would be okay to eat.
That has actually a really long history.
Okay.
That kind of combination of things. Because the chili, if my understanding is, drying and grinding the chilies is also supposed to help keep everything else a little bit better preserved.
I have heard that. I don't know which chemicals in there.
I happen to know that the American mountain man, Kit Carson, frontiersman, rather, not mountain man, his last words, I believe, were, "I wish I could have one more bowl of chili." And given that he would have been eating what you're talking about, either that man's palate had been horrendously degraded by life on the frontier, or that chili is better than you or I are imagining that it is.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be that bad, can it? I would be interested to try it, but, you know, I think I probably wouldn't have that my most preferred chili.
200,000 Wild West inhabitants can't be wrong.
That's right. When you have nothing else to eat in the desert, and that's all you got, it's got to be the best food there is.
Yeah. When you saw no other food, it was then that the chili carried you.
Mm-hmm. Chili from heaven, just like in the Bible.
Oh, boy. That is a much worse song, Chili from Heaven.
I'm imagining it hitting the ground in, like, spoonfuls.
I mean, I was thinking of pennies from heaven, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's so much nicer.
I know, right? No, the terminal velocity. If you dropped a spoonful of chili off of the Empire State Building, could it reach such a high terminal velocity that it kills someone on the way down? That's the question this is all leading to.
Mm-hmm. Well, a spoonful of chili helps the medicine go down.
All right, enough about this. I think we've done every possible pun here.
Mm-hmm.
So as you alluded to, one of the big arguments, I would say probably the big argument when it comes to red chili is, does it have beans or not in it? What do you think?
I can respect it not having beans, and I've had and made some really nice chilies that don't, but I like to make it with beans because I'm making a one-pot meal, and I want it to be a full meal. I just kind of want the beans in there so I don't need I don't need to make rice or cornbread, which I do like with it, but if I'm doing it just for myself and then maybe heating it up for a lunch, I just want to have a container that's already got those carbs right in there.
See, that actually fits very well with my approach. If I'm eating it right then and there, if I'm making this for something where this is going to be a dinner and that's it, no beans. I want it as thick and beefy as humanly possible. If I'm going to make that to last me several meals, if it's got to be a lunch, if it's got to be something where there's batch preparation going on, I do add the beans because it's extra protein, it's more filling, and generally speaking, it also means that I can cut down a little bit on the amount of meat, which these days in particular, beans are one of the few things that aren't getting prohibitively expensive as
tell me about it.
The specter of inflation goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to say, okay, you know what? I don't have to put as much ground beef into this. I can instead get the flavor that I want and also be somewhat cost conscious.
And that's the thing, because a really good chili with layers of different peppers cooked down, the beef flavors, all that, it can be so strong when it's done. Not just, you know, spicy, but strong in flavor, that you want something quite neutral to play off of it.
Yes, and something, especially if you've got, a couple years ago, I made some chilies with cranberry beans.
Oh.
And they were CSA. Cranberry beans, that's community supported agriculture, not Confederate States of America. So they, I had to look up what these were. I'd never seen them before.
Hold on. Would those CSA beans be the opposite of Yankee beans?
This would probably be a much better joke if I knew what Yankee beans were.
It's not very important.
Cool. Cannot wait for this to be the first thing we talk about once we're done recording. But cranberry beans, so I had to look these up. I didn't know what these were. I'd never seen them before. And they're basically just pinto beans in terms of flavor, and I guess it's a cultivar of the same kind of bean, but very enjoyable. And because they were small batch beans, you know, this wasn't Goya making them for huge amounts of cans and so on.
Right.
They actually had a little bit of flavor and texture that you normally don't get, and that was really nice as well. Getting to have that extra, I mean, beans are legumes. You've never, ever been like, you know what this is missing? It doesn't have enough legume-ness. That's, that's what this chili doesn't have. I wish it had more of that. But that's what it had, an earthiness to it that I'd never really had before. Or since, because that CSA is no longer operative. A thing that has not failed to make me angry since.
Yes. Well, of course.
So you actually mentioned another thing that I had only seen as an argument. The beans thing I've seen as an argument, I mean, constantly. That comes up every time.
There's no recipe either with beans or without beans for chili online that will not have people talking about whether it should or should not have beans in the comments.
We decided not to include those because we'd be here all day, by the way.
Exactly.
But you mentioned tomatoes were an argument. And now maybe this is just coming at it from the Puerto Rican Cuban side of things. But if something is called red chili, the assumption is generally that tomatoes are involved.
I always thought that as well. And I love the taste of tomatoes with all the other things in chili. I always add them. I think it's great to do that. But a lot of people have said that it's cheating in a way, like they say about beans. It's cheating to fill out the chili with that. And the red color should only come from these peppers that you have. So you should be using such a quantity of ground peppers that that's what makes it red. Which I understand, but I love the flavor of tomatoes, so.
Yeah, okay. That's actually more understandable than I thought. I mentioned picadillo a while back, and, you know, picadillo is usually made. You're going to toss in tomato sauce and sometimes tomato paste to get those layers of umami and the sweetness of a little bit of good tomato in there.
I found a recipe called picadillo chili, which I did not include any comments from because it was just picadillo with cubed potatoes in it. And the comments were quite baffled on how this was a chili, and I am as well.
Yes, that's about as much as chili as Cincinnati chili is. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, no.
At any rate, so tomatoes, and then one that was even more surprising to me, again, possibly because of my cultural background here, you also mentioned that onions and garlic are a big argument starter in chili.
It seems like it. As far as I can tell, there are certain people who are so very serious about one type of chili that they insist that it has to be the best beef and the best peppers you can get and nothing else so that you can really showcase those two flavors, I suppose. But there's a lot of flavors in the world, and I like a lot of other ones too. So,
see, I can understand garlic because I actually think garlic and beef are not the most natural partners. There are other meats that I would prefer to put that with. But onion is so key to so many beef dishes. It has such a good contrast. It's sharp. It's, pungent, acrid. a lot of descriptors that aren't typically positive. But when you contrast them with rich, meaty flavors, it does produce a nice combination. And to be fair, a lot of meat dishes that I grew up eating simply had just slices of white onion served with them, just raw, so that you could kind of palate cleanse in between bites. I could accept that if you didn't want to put them directly in the chili.
I do like that. Also, I mean, the onion does have all the things you said, but it does have a natural sweetness, which I think goes nicely with beef, because I don't think beef can handle the type of sweetness you can put with a pork, to me. I like pork with a lot of sweeter things than I would enjoy beef with. But onion, always.
Yes. And in particular, well, see, that's interesting to me because I think white onion is the least sweet onion. And it's the one I like best with a heavy meat dish because it cuts through everything.
That's true.
You top a chili with dice of white onion or a, you know, if you fry pork chunks or something like that and you serve that with rounds of white onion. My grandmother used to make beef steak, just like pounded cube steak and always put... Sometimes she caramelized them, but other times she would just leave it raw on top. And that was always nice because you could get the heavy meat and then on the way out, you had your you felt less...
get a little sulfuric acid on your tongue to clear things up.
Exactly what you want. That faint burning sensation, as if a few of your cells were crying out in anguish and were suddenly silenced.
That's right. Ugh, boy, should we get into these comments?
Yeah, let's say that we're going to. So we've established more or less. Actually, you know what? No, we shouldn't yet because there's one thing we didn't talk about. What do you top your chili with?
It depends on the chili. That's the coward's way out, and I am going to say it. But I do like raw onion. Cilantro I love because I like a little something green in there. Scallions sometimes I prefer if I can have cilantro. And... if it's a very lean type of chili, I would like some cheese or sour cream. But mostly, I like the sharper things. Yeah, maybe a little salsa. How about you?
That's actually pretty close. If I do a lunch chili, I tend to opt for scallions. And then, actually, if it's a lunch chili, I tell a lie. If it's a lunch chili, typically speaking, it'll be a scoop of sour cream with a bunch of jalapeno salt thrown in.
Interesting.
And some tortilla chips. The jalapeno salt, the particular one that I use, which is from Bravado Spice, no, they don't sponsor us, is very good at having a bunch of different flavors that fit well with a bunch of different foods. And so it kind of has become my all-purpose flavor enhancer. It doesn't have anything silly in there like sugar or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just jalapeno powder, salt, garlic powder, onion powder, black pepper.
It sounds really good.
So it's usable in a number of different contexts. And then when you introduce it into a sour cream and you pour that into the chili, you spoon it in there and mix it in there after you've heated the chili, obviously.
I was going to say, do you heat before or after?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if I'm eating the chili fresh, if I'm making it and it's going right into a bowl or a plate, which is actually very rare, then yes, I will go for the onion or scallion. It's rare that we have cilantro lying around, but sure. And then I will put a little bit of shredded cheese on top. For me, the big thing about the shredded cheese is that it tends to stick to the walls of plastic containers. And not only is that a problem in terms of the labor it takes to wash them, but also worries me that I'm leashing that into my system, which is yes, bad enough because you're already putting that plastic in a microwave.
I've also noticed if you bring even metal utensils like a fork, a metal fork, it'll stick to that fork in a weird, chunky way that makes it unpleasant to eat. So, indeed. Yeah, I agree about that.
No, for sure. All right, so we've established what we think chili is. Let's see what some people on the internet think chili is. Louisa, I believe you have unlocked and loaded for us.
That's right. Here's someone who's very excited about chili.
Yay!
says, wowzers! That always gets Noah. Wowzers, this was so easy to make and so yummy. Thank you. There's a lot of exclamation points and some capitalization. And,
yep,
here.
There it is.
And they say, this is just my preference. I used a can of kidney beans instead of pinto. I had my first few spoons and I thought, I should have added more chili. There's a lot of dramatic ellipses coming.
This person is British. Chili has two L's there.
apparently, and it's capitalized. Mm-hmm. Brand name chili. I should have added more chili. Then I sat there, and it was like, "Hello, I'm here." That was a surprising moment. Not hot, however, robust and perfect. Just enough to enjoy without a runny nose, period. LOL, period. I will make again. Thank you. The period after the LOL is always very funny to me. Like, and they're just joylessly saying this.
First of all, the second way I knew this person was British is that they described the chili as robust. Nobody on this side of the pond uses that.
That's very true.
And also, I'm going to say something controversial. I don't think I want to make fun of this person.
Yeah. I don't love when people try to be the sassy best friend of the comment section. And you see that kind of a lot with some people. They're like, unbelievable. This is amazing. Wow. LOL. And it's like, fine. You can just be normal about it, though.
See, here's the thing. I don't think the sassy best friend opens with wowzers.
Oh, that's fair. Anyway, this person is extremely excited about this chili.
As one should be.
I am surprised they said that they let it sit and then it felt more mellow to them. So
I don't think that's the same stronger. Person.
Oh, whoops. Oh, they sat with it while they were eating it. No, you're right. Yeah. I'm thinking of a different person who was sitting overnight with it.
Sitting overnight with the chili? Were they holding a chili vigil?
Keeping watch
over the chili. A chiligil, if you will?
Like it says in the Bible about keeping watch over the chili by night.
Yeah. In the morning they dubbed it with a sword and called it Sir Chili.
When the shepherds brought chili to the baby Jesus.
That's right.
Ugh, yes. No, I like this person. You're right.
I understand what you find interesting about this comment. Also, I will say, I have done chili with kidney beans, and I understand that that is this person's preference, and thank God that they said that, because that has actually been my least favorite type of bean to use.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe it's just because I grew up with them and I'm very used to them, but kidney beans have that very... I tend to do a lot of intentional synesthesia and describe tastes as colors, and red kidney beans taste like dark red to me. Like, that is the color of that taste to my mind. Mm-hmm. And there's something I don't like about that. It's if you're already making a chili the way, you know, you're layering in the flavors between the meat, the peppers, the spices that you may use. We'll get into that in a bit. The way that those flavors are going to layer, you add kidney beans, that's just going to make that dimension of it, the earthiness, overwhelming. There comes a point at which it feels like you're eating soil.
Yeah. And that particular bean is a big, robust, I'm going to use his words, a big, robust bean that kind of takes over, I find. If there are kidney beans and something, they're mostly tasting kidney beans.
I prefer to use whenever possible. There's like the non-kidney beans that are also red, like the small red beans or whatever they're called. Mm. Those are fine. I think you can't beat the pinto for chili.
I did see one comment. I didn't make note of it because it was just one person and it sounded a bit strange. But they said it must be white beans in a chili. I'm like, I've never heard anyone say that before, so I'm not sure that's true.
All right. I'm not going to entertain that notion any longer. We're going to move on to another comment here. And again, I can't really dislike this person. We'll get into the people we dislike in a bit. But there is something very strange about this comment going on here. This comment says, "The is good stuff, super meaty and delicious. And I'm so glad that we have a counterpart to the my husband must have gone and lost his damn mind from the last one." This person says, "My wife was mmming with practically every mouthful."
That's right.
Yep, phrasing. "I'm thinking leftovers." And this is where it gets weird, though. That part's fun.
Yes,
whatever.
Yes.
Then this person says, I'm thinking leftovers would make a great sandwich. What are you talking about?
I'm trying to imagine being served a chili sandwich. That sounds like a euphemism for some type of punch that you're about to get punched in the face with, but a chili sandwich? What kind of bread would even hold that together?
It's a sloppy dough. That's what it is.
Exactly, like. Yeah. You need a real sturdy roll to hold onto a chili sandwich.
What'd you do? No, this I learned this from listening to Chicagoans who won't shut the hell up about Italian beef. What you do is you take the bread and you let it sit for a day and get stale. So it gets tough. And then you put the chili on top and it holds up to it. And then it's no longer so wet that it stops operating as a sandwich.
Oh, boy. The things
I know I'm sandwiches. I know I'm selling it. I know I'm selling it really well. It's, yeah, I don't, there's not much else to say about this person. I just thought it was very interesting that their first thought after eating chili was, you know what? You can make a sandwich out of this.
Yeah.
I'm almost wondering what their chili looks like.
Yeah, that's got to be a very sturdy chili. I may be
talking myself around to this, which is a problem.
Yeah. Suddenly, chili sandwiches are the future.
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone I have found. This person says, the absolute best chili I have ever had. I took it to a chili cook-off and I had no leftovers. I will never make another chili again.
MacArthur Park.
Yeah, you'll never have that recipe again.
You'll never have any other recipe again.
Exactly. This person, of course, they are enthusiastic about this recipe, but I picked this because they say they took the chili to a cook-off and had no leftovers. There are so many comments on online chili recipes where the person says that they made it for a chili cook-off or they won a chili cook-off with it. And the thought of just following a recipe to take part in a chili cook-off is so alien to me. Like, where's the creativity? What are you winning a prize on if you're just following a recipe, I guess?
Yeah. You cheated. Congratulations. You won a prize for your internet search skills. That's what you did.
Yeah. It's strange to me. It's I wouldn't want to do it.
Because I know people who've won chili cook-offs. And the whole point for them... In fact, I know somebody who won a chili cook-off who hates chili.
That's talent.
Yes, it is. You could not ask me to do that. I can't think of a...
Probably I make Christmas cookies every year that I don't enjoy because other, especially family members, do enjoy them. So,
see, I don't know that there's a food that I enjoy so little that if you told me you're going to have to develop a recipe for this to win a contest,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a food that I dislike so much that I wouldn't be up for the challenge, at least. You know, the satisfaction of a job well done.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how you get that satisfaction if it's not your recipe. Like, you didn't win that.
Exactly. What's your secret ingredient? Oh, I don't know. I just follow this recipe online. No, that's shameful.
It's a very... but this is the country, right? Okay, but hold on. We're going to get political ahead of time.
Watch out, folks.
Because let's remember that this is the country that lost its collective mind over the fact that Obama said, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. So actually, I completely understand why somebody in this country would be like, no, I can just steal this recipe and use it and win a prize with it and say, oh, hey, this is for me. I won this award.
Yeah.
Because we have no recognition of the fact that just because we have no recognition of the idea of creative labor. I mean, somebody else had to sit there and test this recipe out. And in fact, not only was the person who wrote the recipe and made the video and whatnot for this, they weren't even the ones doing it. It was probably some underpaid cooks or somebody who got paid a lot less money than the person on the video, which I haven't seen for this recipe, so I don't know who it was. It may have been they themselves may have been the underpaid labor. And then somebody just comes in and says, oh, yeah, I made this. You know, everybody loved it. Great. I'm never making anything else again. And
definitely.
What do you even do with this? This is why this is why everybody's always talking about how if you you know, we're a podcast. Obviously, we're offered over the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the cardinal sins of the internet, even now, is plagiarism. Even though everybody kind of acknowledges it, but if you get caught, you're supposed to feel kind of bad that you did it. That's the kind of line it is. You can steal jokes, you can steal posts, whatever. But if somebody catches you and can prove that you did it, you're supposed to be contrite about it.
Yeah.
This person has zero shame in admitting
this.
That is a problem.
And that's the thing, because it's been engineered, especially in the United States, can't really speak for the rest of the world, but you cannot copyright a recipe. That's the law has said that.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where, because the law has not protected people who did creative work and came up with something, then everyone's decided, well, then it's not worth something, actually. Like, the law doesn't protect you, and therefore, I don't have to I don't have to have any compunction about stealing your recipe.
That's right. Remind me, why are we offering this this show for free?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, since I'm already geared up, I'm just going to keep moving on. And this person, three words in, I knew, well, actually, from the username of this person, I knew what the first three words were going to be of their review.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. This review begins, "I'm a Texan."
Here we go.
I want to point out, by the way, married into a Texan family, have been to Texas multiple times. I can say everything I'm about to say. And if you have a problem with it, you can argue with a wall. Because this continues.
Take that, beloved listeners.
"I like to cook chili with the meat cut a little smaller. Or you can get chili meat at the store. Thanks. I sometimes cook my chili using beef broth after browning the beef. Here in Texas," you know, where you're from, because you're a Texan. Yeah.
It's important to mention it.
"We serve a bowl of chili with chopped onions, shredded cheddar cheese, and sliced pickled jalapeno peppers on top. You can't beat a good bowl of chili. FYI, there are some good," and this is capitalized, "chili powder mixes, at least here in Texas." Again, you already mentioned where you're from and what you identify as ethnically. "Texas stores."
Now, they mention this specifically as a dig to this recipe, because like a lot of recipes online, the recipe starts by saying it's hard to find a good chili mix that you know everything that's in it, so make your own. And then it tells you which dried chilies to buy to do that. So this person just wants to make sure that you know that in Texas you can go ahead and buy those mixes because they are good.
Do you know how you know somebody's Texan?
They'll tell you.
Three times in the space of about a minute.
Exactly.
It,
man.
This, by the way, this person's username is a political reference, which is how I knew that the first three words out of their electronic mouth were going to be "I'm a Texan." But I love the fact, I love the Texan supremacy, which is one of the most annoying regional habits of this entire country. Second, I love that they give you a series of tips on how to make chili in a recipe. Just go publish your own.
Yep.
Nobody's going to tell you any different. I love that they specifically say you can get chili meat at the store.
Yes.
Amazing. And I also love, after discussing the toppings that they use here in Texas. By the way, let me be clear. There is as much argument about this within Texas as everywhere else. This person, you could... I'm betting you right now, there are three people on this person's street that serve it differently from the way they just claimed all of Texas does.
Yeah, and would say that you could never serve it this way. Yeah, absolutely.
And then finishes off with, "You just can't beat a good bowl of chili." Okay. Cool.
Well then,
no one was asking.
What toppings he put on it.
No one cares. Shut up.
If you can't beat a good bowl of chili, if it's always good, then it doesn't matter what toppings you put on it. It doesn't matter your methods, does it?
Doesn't matter the state you're in. Which in my case is now several degrees more irate than before I read this. Infuriating.
It's true. It's true.
This is... Ugh. I'm going to stop before I pick a fight with the whole state.
I'm going to pick a fight with the whole country right now.
Ooh.
With this comment I'm going to read.
Look at this one up womanship.
That's right. Thank you. This is what a feminist looks like. We have made this several times now, and it's by far the best chili recipe ever. Full stop. That is a clue for what they're about to say. The fact that they said full stop.
Yep.
We live in the UK at the moment, so swap chilies for what we could find. Used a mix of red and green chilies. I don't really know what they think chilies means.
When okay, they're saying I'm glad that you said that, because I was going to raise this point later. Continue.
Jalapenos and Scotch bonnet peppers. It has the perfect amount of heat, warmth, and sweetness. Highly recommend. So they have changed the recipe in this way. They have not told you the quantities of any of the things they did. They tell you it's perfect, but they do not let you know how you could make it perfect yourself. So there's that. And yes, I do really, really wonder what types of chilies they used.
It is, I will note that they spelled the chilies that they swapped are spelled C-H-I-L-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chilies that they put in instead are spelled C-H-I-L-I-E-S. And that's our senior United Kingdom correspondent. Do you know what the hell this is?
No, I don't. And what's funny is, if they had spelled it the same way twice, you know, you wouldn't even think about it. If they'd spelled it the second time with just the E, you might wonder if they think there's a difference maybe between the American continent's peppers and Asia's peppers, maybe, because sometimes people feel like there's an important distinction.
Well,
maybe. But, go on.
There are certain chilies in the United States that if you spell it with an I, you will get stabbed. Notably the Hatch Chile of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. But they've spelled it this way that no one spells chilies, which must be just a typo. But it's fascinating, mm-hmm. because what are they talking
about? It's like a Freudian slip.
It is.
It makes you... There's so much mystery in this comment.
A mix of red and green chilies. I really wonder.
Because those aren't bell peppers, right? Those would be an entirely different business.
Yeah, I don't think that they would call them chilies if they were just bell peppers. So there's that, at least. At least we know that.
Because I do know that sometimes you go to the store and, you know, as you do.
Yeah, everybody we all know about the store, don't we?
Yeah, the store.
We're all men of the people. We go to the store, just like you.
People of the people.
Mm-hmm.
We put our pants on one leg at a time, just like you.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to the store.
Exactly. With pants on. That's important.
It is important. We live in a society.
That's right. Anyway, red and green chilies. Sometimes you do, in a grocery store or something like that, you might see, like, just hot green peppers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if that's what it is. Like, maybe in the UK, they don't trust you to know the difference. Or they don't think you will, so they just sell it to you that way, which is very sad, if I'm honest.
From experience, because my family is from the UK and I've been there many times, pretty much. It's just a mix of, here's some peppers that are sweet, here's some that are hot, we're not really making a distinction, we're not going to give you the types you want for any specific thing. Yeah.
Yeah, how dare you ask for this? This is the United Kingdom. Suffer in silence. Keep that stiff upper lip.
I have had a taco meal in the UK, in Wales, actually, that I know I've told Noah about this before, and it really upsets him, but it was...
Welsh tacos, man. Sorry, tacos.
It was black refried beans, sliced tomato and onion, on a pita with creme fraiche.
I can't do this anymore.
You talking about life or just this conversation?
Yes.
Fair enough.
To be fair, now, I have had black refried beans that are quite good, but...
Oh, I believe you. These are not.
No. This is something also that, like, the Commonwealth has a general problem with, because I've heard from Canadian friends about somebody who, on a whim, decided to replace the cumin in their chili, mm-hmm. so bringing it back to the topic, with cocoa powder. Now, I'm not saying you can't use cocoa powder in your chili. I know that there are recipes that use it.
Mm-hmm.
But replacing all of it...
Yeah.
...might be pushing it.
Cumin is such a vibrant, loud spice in any spice mix. The thought of replacing it with extremely soft and delicate chocolate is crazy to me. How... Yeah. The flavor profile will be completely different. There's no comparison.
No, absolutely not. And to the credit of the people that told me this story, they're also Canadian, and they knew immediately. They were, this is the worst thing I've ever tasted, you know? They weren't going to let that slide by. Mm-hmm. I'm also interested in, because once you've got the red and green chilies, jalapenos, natural, scotch bonnets.
Yeah, the fact that they added those, which are an extremely hot pepper.
Which, fine, you know, whatever, that happens. Yeah, but I've had scotch bonnets. They're, mm-hmm. That's not the kind of flavor that you typically associate with a chili. No. Scotch bonnets are very fruity.
I think of those more part of Jamaican food. I don't know if that's true.
No, that's exactly correct.
Okay. But yeah, I don't consider that part of the desert. Southern United States, northern Mexico, where you get chili from.
It's not something you typically put if your food is around the Rio Grande, you know?
Yes.
Or Rio Bravo, to use the Spanish term. It's a very, I'm not saying it would be bad, to be clear, but I don't know. It's
different flavor profile, for sure.
Yeah, it's the same reason, again, I mentioned the white onion, you know, being not very fruity. Same reason I don't put scotch bonnet peppers in my chili. I'm trying to think of what fruit it is most like, and I'm coming up empty, but I don't want to chuck that kind of sugary flavor in there.
Yes.
All right.
Totally agreed.
One last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with, let's see, I have to count these up.
Yeah, count them out.
I believe those are 10 exclamation points. Again, name of the site. Why? 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 The first one is all lower caps. The second one has the first letter in caps. The third one has all of them in caps. And then it is followed by !!! question mark. Don't you include weights in your ingredient list? Another interrobang. Ancho chilies can vary greatly in size. They come as large as 5 inches long to as small as 2 inches long. You require a membership fee for this site, which might give away what site it is. I don't think that's asking too much space. And I will note, in a display of symmetry that I cannot not appreciate, 10 more exclamation points.
Yeah, it's like it's in these warning brackets for
yes.
This is going to be an explosive review.
Much like this person's ancho chilies, apparently. The thing is, I can't hate this.
Yeah,
because it actually, kind of I think they're making a great point.
Yes.
It does very much annoy me. We had, of course, in the last episode, we talked a little bit about the metric versus imperial measurements, and I do think it is weird for sites, especially now when so much of the focus is like, this is exactly the right way to make chili. Once you make chili this way, you will never need another recipe, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To not include something that basic, especially for a food that is so varied in size. You know, I regularly have to get dried chilies for some of the meals I make, and even within one bag, the variation is massive.
Yes, and for something like this, because if you're making a soup and it says two onions, like big onions, small onions, that could be your preference. That won't make such a difference. But for a recipe for chili, specifically with the dried chilies you're going to be turning into chili powder, that might be a difference in several tablespoons full of powder, which will really affect the texture and taste of your finished chili.
And we all admit when it comes to baking, and see, this is one where we all admit when it comes to baking that weight measurements are more precise than volume measurements.
Mm-hmm.
It is past time to do this for stuff like this. I'm very tired of any kind of like mirepoix-like vegetable being measured in volume. Don't give me 2 cups of chopped onion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking out the Pyrex just so I can measure out the aromatics. Tell me the weight that you want me to put into this recipe.
I want to weigh each
tell
of
me
my
the fucking
onions from my bag of onions and be like, this onion is 6 ounces. This is the onion.
Yeah.
Chopping up this onion.
Or even if it's not, just the ability to be able to say, you know, put it on the scale and say, okay, I need a little bit more. Cool. Yeah. I'm fine with this. Or if I overshoot slightly, that's fine. But don't do this thing where I'm just guessing if I cut up this many peppers, this is how much I'm going to get. So even though I wanted this person to be the closer comment, because I thought this was going to be pretty good, and I do think it is still pretty, think
that
punctuation is very funny. But you know what? Actually, I'm on this person's side.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
Yeah, we've come around.
And
you're definitely right.
Yeah. So anyway, after we've talked about what people on the internet have done to our beloved red chili, we like to talk about things that we might try, things that are out there that maybe you haven't heard of. And I'm going to start off by just mentioning very quickly, we talked about cocoa powder. I do know of at least one person that likes to put in unsweetened baking chocolate. They think it has a better texture when you add it in than the cocoa powder, that it'll melt better into the broth and give you a deeper flavor. I haven't tried it because I usually make a very quick chili, but I really can't disagree with that.
Yeah, it does sound good. I really like a strong mole sauce, so I think chocolate and chili is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a bunch of things that I'd never heard of, and I would love to get the rapid fire on this one.
One of them seemed a bit strange to me. I think maybe the recipe was going for more of a flavor like carnitas, is oranges. You juice an orange into it, and then you cook the chili with the orange halves to get the oil out of the rind. I mean, I don't think it would be bad, but I don't think that would be to my liking. I think that would be too sweet.
It does feel a little bit more like carnitas, which there the meat is an important component in adding to that flavor.
Yeah.
I've had, because the only thing I've had where beef and orange were involved together is Chinese orange beef.
Yes.
And I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I really don't like that much myself. I think too much sweetness with beef is never going to be my thing.
You also mentioned... talk to me about these cornbread dumplings you were mentioning.
I did see a recipe. I think this is a case. I skimmed over this recipe, didn't pay it too much mind, because I think this is the case of something that you see a lot in recipes where it seems too good to be true, and then were you to make it, it would fail terribly. And this had you make chili and then spoon cornbread batter onto the top and cover the pan and cook it a while, like chicken and dumplings, but... cornbread dumplings in the chili. I don't think that's going to work out right. It would be great if it did, but
not only is that not going to work out right, that takes away one of the major things I like about cornbread, which is the crust that
it
develops from sitting in the cast iron.
Very much.
Yeah. If you don't have the caramelization that makes it able to hold up to a chili.
Yes, that's what you want. The contrast.
No. Yeah. I'd try it. I can't say I wouldn't, but I think I'd try it out of one side of my mouth, which is a very bad way to chew. Don't do that. Your dentist will hate you.
Dentists hate him for this one weird trick.
And then the last one, something about dried beef jerky.
Oh, yes. I saw someone mention that a lot of chili recipes will have you thicken the chili with corn flour, masa harina, not cornstarch or cornmeal, the thing in between, corn flour, which does thicken a chili and it gives it a very nice roasted corn flavor. Mm-hmm. I do like it a lot. But this person said you don't want corn to take away from the flavors of your chili, the peppers and the beef.
God forbid.
Right. So what you should do is get a few ounces of, they mentioned a specific type, and I don't know the name, but it was a Mexican beef jerky, so basically just beef, salt, and sugar. You get that, you grind that up in your food processor to a beef powder, and then you add that to your chili so you can thicken it with extra beef.
You invent, this wild. Person invented Mexican Bovril. That's incredible.
I would certainly try it, but it sounds too intense, I would think, and it sounds extremely expensive. So,
number one, I think that is actually the big problem with it. So I don't know.
Yes.
A lot of other countries have figured out how to make these things like a beef jerky and things like that in a more affordable way, probably by using things the U.S. doesn't use in those processes. I don't know. But it also just could be slightly less of a profit motive. Who knows? I would definitely try it. I would also be somewhat afraid, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you've ever had products from overseas that are meant to create those flavors, you got to be really sparing with them.
Yes. There are a lot of very intensely flavored snacks that you just have a bite of. And I'm like, well, I need a huge glass of water and I don't need any more of the snack.
Yes. Having said that, I will remark that not wanting corn to invade your chili, I mean, I would think beef, peppers, and corn. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's a natural triad right there. Exactly. Why wouldn't you want that? What's wrong with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely would prefer the corn, I think.
Is there anything else we should let them know about?
I think that covers it for today. So thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed it, please tell your friends.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, we're on Twitter at NoSubsPlease and on Mastodon at NoSubsPlease at Mastodon.online. If you find any outlandish recipe comments you'd like to send our way for us to rip on in a future episode, you can send them to NoSubstitutionsPlis@gmail.com. That's NoSubstitutionsPLS@gmail.com. We apologize. Every other permutation was taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, until next time, we have been No Substitutions, Please. And like the best cooks, we will leave you wanting more.